Good morning.
I'd
like to give a special welcome to the visitors that we have. We have quite a few visitors with us today, and we extend a very special welcome to you. We have a prayer request that I would like to read before we get into our lesson. It's from our sister Diamond, and she says, "Please pray for me. For I've been struggling with filthy language and frustrations and would ask for strength in prayer to overcome these things and to be a good example to my kids." A wonderful request there. We will take a moment and go with Diamond on behalf of her in prayer as her brothers and sisters. And let's go to God right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for hearing our prayer. We ask that you be with Diamond, be with the individual struggles that she's facing. Be with us all, because we all have trials and tribulations in our life that we struggle with. But we ask that you be with her, let her have more control over her language. Let us all use our mouth to praise and encourage rather than curse and to be bad examples. Dear God, be with her. We love and appreciate her, and we ask that you be with her at this time. Amen. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you have participated over the years with the Serving Our Kids program, and where we go once a month and help bag some lunches for underprivileged children and so forth. The man that is in charge of that, Dale, he is retiring. And we've got a card here that if anybody would like to sign, Sean's going to have it. If you want to see Sean after worship today, that would be great. Send him off with well wishes and so forth. He has put a lot of hard work and determination in that program, and it's a very worthwhile program. So if you'd like to sign that card, just see Sean after worship. Last week, we looked at fathers. It was Father's Day, and so kind of appropriately, we looked at how godly men produce godly fathers. Today we're going to look at godly mothers. Mothers are the backbone of the home. And I want us to look at some scriptures, look at some examples today from the scriptures. Our scripture reading this morning was taken from Proverbs 31. I'm going to ask Preston to come up and read a little bit lengthier passage, Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. If you would like to open up and kind of read silently along, Preston, would you come up and read that passage, please?
Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible this morning. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates."
Amen.
What a wonderful passage to describe a truly godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother. And again, women never feel slighted. I hear women, "Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that in the church." You're never slighted. You know, you are the backbone of the family unit and to be praised. There in that passage, it describes this woman as a good wife. You can't be a good mother without being a good wife. They go hand in hand. It says that she is trusted by her husband. What a wonderful, when you think of that, that can encompass an awful lot. That he trusts her. Not only personally, but he can fall back on her for support, for encouragement. The man that goes out every day seems to be fighting the world's battles, comes home weary, weakened, discouraged. A lot of time it's the wife, the mother of his children, that encourage him. She provides for her family. She's not lazy or idle. She's wise and very generous with her talents, with what she is able to produce from those talents. Her husband is proud of her. That could be a cancer. If you're not proud of your spouse, that can start festering and start affecting the marriage and the family unit. In this passage, you don't have to worry about it with this family, because the husband not only trusts her, but is proud of her. She exhibits good behavior, and it is seen in the community. Without saying a word, she is praised by her actions. And she brings respect to the family. And the scripture reading that we had, the last two verses, it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." We will, men and women, we will be known for for our efforts. We will be recognized for the things that we do. And in this passage in Proverbs, she is going to be well known for the wonderful works that she produces. I want to look at a few, according to the time, very few positive examples in the Bible, but very powerful examples. One, and it's the first one that I always think of, it was the mother and grandmother of Timothy, the traveling companion and the person that Paul relied on so much and who assisted Paul. Paul is writing to Timothy here in 2 Timothy, and he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Probably the closest companion Paul had was Timothy. He recognizes the fact of the impact that these two women, his grandmother and his mother, had on him. He was a diamond in the rough. Paul would take a young man that had already was showing promise, and he would help. You know, there's no doubt of the influence Paul had on his life, but all he did was build on the foundation that grandmother and mom had already instilled in him. You talk about the power. We talk about Paul, but you look at the power that a mother and a grandmother had, and you think of what Timothy would be able to accomplish all from that foundation. We look at Lydia in Acts, the 16th chapter. She was a businesswoman, and starting in verse 14, we see, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Here is, in just these two verses, we could do a whole sermon. Here is a godly woman, just kind of a side note, a godly woman that worshiped God but wasn't saved yet. That's a whole lesson in itself. She listened to the words of Paul, and her household were baptized and became saved. She immediately, we see the nature of Lydia by opening her home to Paul. And she is a generous woman. And in the ways that she can, she's helping grow the kingdom. And we see that after this, Paul would be jailed in Philippi. And then the jail would be torn apart with the earthquake. Paul would be released, and he teaches the Philippian jailer and all this. When he gets out of prison, he goes to her house. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Another example, we don't even have a name. Don't even have a name for this woman. The mother of Rufus. In Romans 16, 13, Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Christians in Rome. And in his, oh, by the way, do this, do that, one of the comments he makes, greet Rufus, who happened to be the son of Simon of Cyrene, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Not even mentioned by name, but a woman is so noted that greet Rufus, but also Rufus's mother. She was very good to me. I think of her as my own. She must have had a very big impact on the Apostle Paul. So women, when you think, oh, I'm just a woman, what can we do in the church? You can do an awful lot. You have a big, big impact on the church. In Titus, we see Paul exhorting Titus of some things to do, telling the older women likewise that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. No godly woman would want to be responsible for God's word to be blasphemed. I want to look at a couple of negative examples of women that did not do some of these things that we've seen the positive examples of. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there is a number of examples where it talks about women and wives and mothers that are kind of contentious and so forth, and describes them as a continual dripping. Just that constant nagging, nagging, nagging. I'm seeing a whole lot of this right now. I'm hoping it's joking, because you'll pay for it later, men. You'll pay for it later. Don't be contentious. Some of the women are described as harlots. Some of the women are described as destroying their own household, pulling their house down around them. So spiteful. Stark contrast from some of those good examples. In 1 Timothy, it says, and besides, they learn to be idle. Remember in Proverbs, that woman was not idle. She kept herself busy doing positive, constructive things. Besides, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. This is a whole lesson in and of itself about the power, the negative power of gossiping. Godly mothers, they teach. Some of the first teachings Christians ever get are as children in the home from the mother. They guide, they influence, and they serve. We have a congregation of women that I think of that fit this qualification.
Amen.
We have a wonderful congregation of godly, strong women that influence not only the young ones, but other women, teach other women, show through modeling and through example other women how to be godly Christians. And they also influence the men. They also influence the men through encouragement, support. And it's a way to show your faith and your Christianity. We talked about men last week, and I did not want the opportunity to go by without looking at godly women and the influence that they have. We always like to offer an invitation before we close. As I look out in the audience, there's a lot of people. I'm not sure of your salvation status. I don't know if you have been a Christian for 35 years, or if this is the first time some of you have ever heard the Word of God. God wants us, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. I don't see how it gets any clearer than that. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you have sin in your life, don't say, I'm going to repent tomorrow. Repent today, right now. If it's a private sin, repent between you and God. If it's a public sin, ask for forgiveness publicly. Repent of those sins. If you're looking for a church home, we've had this year a number of families added to our body here at South Valley that have looked at some other congregations, and they've jumped right in and are serving. Whatever your need, please come forward, let your needs be known while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.